with Tom in Columbus, listening on St. Gabriel Radio, 820 AM. What's your question for Carlo Broussard today on Catholic Answers Live?
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, I'm trying to make this as simple as I can.
Sure.
I believe in a Bible that reads that Jesus will be seen at the right hand of the Father. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a phrase that's found in sacred scripture in our tradition. Yep.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to understand the hypostatic union in relationship to that.
Okay.
Because it appears. I said appears. I'm not saying what it, because I'm asking because I really want to know. I'm trying to understand.
Sure.
It appears that there's two entities when you say someone is going to be at the right hand of someone else. So
okay.
I'm trying to understand how that particular reading in the Bible, how that works with the hypostatic union. I mean, they're not separate entities because
okay.
God is supposed to be one. And so does this mean it's the same nature?
Okay.
So how could God sit beside himself if he's God?
Well,
right?
You know, I'm not trying to be cynical.
No, I understand,
no, I mean,
Tom.
I'm just trying
you,
to like, get
this is not an apologetic question. This is not an apologetic
sure.
question. I'm really trying to...
I understand, brother. I think I got it, Tom. So, first of all, in the Bible, we find this language being used in reference to Jesus. For example, in Acts chapter 7, verse 56... when Stephen sees the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, St. Paul uses it in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, talking about Jesus who is at the right hand of God. Okay, so that's the scriptural reference to what you're talking about. Now, let's just make one point of clarification. You mentioned the hypostatic union, and that's sort of some highfalutin theological language, right? And I'm very impressed that you know that theological language. And just for our listeners' sake, the hypostatic union refers to the union of the two natures that Jesus has, the divine nature and the human nature, in the one divine person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Okay, so now that we have that clear, now I think, Tom, what you're asking is how can, you know, Jesus be distinct from the Father, but yet they're both God, but two distinct persons? Is that sort of the gist of your question, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So here's how we can understand it. First of all, Tom, it's important to know that we cannot know this by the natural light of human reason. We can only know this because God reveals it to us, that within his one being, within his infinite being, which is pure existence, we say in philosophy, there are three persons possessing this one infinite divine nature. And what that means is three distinct persons who possess the same infinite intellect, and thus know everything with that same infinite intellect, and possess the same infinite will, and thus will everything with the same infinite will. So that's what it means to say three persons, one God. That is to say three distinct persons possessing the one divine nature. And I hear the music coming, and I know this is a hard break. So, Tom, stay on the line, and after this hard break, we'll pick it back up, and I'll try to explain it and put a pretty bow on it for you, okay? Tom, you still there, buddy?
Yes, I'm
okay,
still here.
Fantastic. Okay, so as I was mentioning before the break, when we speak of three persons and one God, what we mean is that Jesus reveals to us three distinct persons. So he is not the Father, the Father is not him, and the Father and the Son are not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father nor the Son. So we see distinctions within the Godhead. This is what Jesus is telling us. He's revealing this to us. So we see distinction between the three persons. But yet, we see over and over again in Jesus' preaching that he is equal to the Father. And we also see in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father and the Son as well. And what that tells us, after we work that out, we come to see and realize that what Jesus is telling us is that these three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all possess, they all have the one infinite nature. Three persons, but one being, one essence, one substance, one divine nature. Here's just an analogy for you, Tom, that might help out a little bit. Imagine that you and I had the same nature. Now, we have the same type of nature. You have a human nature, I have a human nature. Same type of nature, but we don't have the same nature because, Tom, you have your own set of human powers, right? I mean, you know things with your own intellect. You love things and choose things with your own will, okay? And I know things with my own intellect, and I love things and choose things with my own will. Thanks be to God, because I love my wife with my own will, and if you're married, Tom, I'm sure you love your own wife, with your own will. Now, Tom, imagine this. Imagine that we had the same nature, which would involve you and I knowing things with the same intellect and loving and choosing things with the same will. We would be a distinction of persons. I would not be you. You would not be me. But yet we would have the same operational powers, the same set of powers. Well, by way of analogy, this is what it's like in the Trinity, what Jesus is telling us. All three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, possess this the same infinite intellect, the same infinite will, so that to the question, who created the universe and who is sustaining us in existence right now? All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? Because they all sustain us in existence with the same infinite will. They all know things with the same infinite intellect. So this sort of gets at the understanding of what we mean when we say three distinct persons, but yet one God, one divine nature. And I'll leave you with this, Tom, sort of a natural way of trying to get at this, although we can't get at it in full, is something that was used by St. Thomas Aquinas and many others. And that is to say, when I think a thought of myself, the thinker and the thought is distinct, but yet it's within the one, my one nature. So we see, even by the natural light of human reason, we can see, in a sense, there can be a distinction, thinker-thought. Thought is not the thinker, thinker is not the thought, but yet that process of thinking the thought being within one divine nature. So when we look at Scripture, we see divine revelation tells us that Jesus is the Word of God, John 1:1. He's the Logos, the idea, the thought of God, the thinker, the Father, eternally thinking the thought of himself, which is the perfect manifestation of who the Father is, everything that the Father is, except being the Father. So there's a distinction between the thinker and the thought, the Father and the Son, but yet within one nature or one being, the divine nature. So that's sort of a reasonable way of trying to get at it. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit being the love or the exchange of love between the Father and the Son, the thinker and the thought. So we're delving into some deep waters here, but I think that's going to have to suffice for today. But thank you so much, Tom, for your call, man. Appreciate it.